Like any good father, God wants to see his children grow. And over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the ways in which we can actually take a part in that growth that God wants for us. So we've looked at prayer and Bible study. Last week we looked at learning patience. All as we work with God to develop his own nature within us. But today we are looking at growing through suffering. And it's unlike anything that we've considered before, because it's something that happens to us. It's usually beyond our control. But suffering is also a reality that is common to us all. And there are many in our church family today who are going through difficult and tough and painful times. When suffering comes our way, one of the most frightening things perhaps is the sense that we have lost all control over the situation. We can feel frustrated, helpless and afraid. But the good news is that while the suffering may be beyond our control, for those who put their trust in Jesus, he holds out a comfort that says, you may feel out of control, but you put your trust in me, I am in control. He has good purposes for us in every situation of life. And we're going to hear of that now as we read from God's word together as Mark comes to bring us our reading.
Praise to the God of all comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Mark. So if you still have your Bibles open on page 1159, you may have noticed that there is one word which leaps out at you as you read this passage, one word that really grabs your attention, and that is the word comfort. It appears in one form or another no less than 9 times in these 5 verses. But it's not just any form of comfort. It's not the comfort that offers a temporary solace from a painful situation, or the comfort that offers ease to weary bodies. It's the comfort that God supplies to his suffering people. It was a comfort that was enjoyed by Paul and his companions. And as we heard in our Bible reading, it is the same comfort that is available to all God's people in every difficulty of life. It's also the comfort that is to be shared with one another in that very special bond of fellowship that we have in belonging to one another in the Church of Christ. We get our English word comfort from the Latin and the French, meaning with strength. And the Greek word here that Paul uses means called to one side to help. And so we have this wonderful description that in God we receive from his own strength, and through his love for us, he is drawn to our side to help. Now this morning we're going to think perhaps of the rather uncomfortable idea of growing through suffering. But just before we do that, let me give you a very brief background to why Paul is writing this letter to the church in Corinth. You see, they've been struggling. They've been struggling with quarrels and divisions within the church. And Paul's own authority as an apostle has been thrown into doubt by one particular individual within the church who stirred up trouble in the ranks, as it were. And in consequence, Paul's teachings about Christ were being undermined. And Paul had had to write a very painful letter to them. Somewhere down the line, as Paul comes to write this letter, very much of that had been resolved. The church had come to repentance. They had dealt with the troublemakers in their ranks. But Paul writes to encourage them, to counsel forgiveness, to reiterate his teaching about Christ and about growing in Christ. But he also writes to encourage them that despite everything that has gone on, there is another truth that they need to understand, which is that God's strength is revealed in human weakness and suffering. The church back then knew it, and it is just as true for us today, that our faith does not keep us from suffering. It doesn't keep us from making mistakes or being subject to all the usual trials of life. Indeed, as we've said before, it is very likely that if we are living our faith authentically and consistently, it will bring its own troubles as we swim against the tide of how the world thinks we should live. Paul suffered for his faith as he shared the gospel. A little later in this letter to the Corinthians in chapter 11, he in fact lists some of the things that he has gone through on his missionary journeys. Imprisonment, flogging, beating, being pelted with stones, shipwrecks, bandit attacked, hunger, verbal abuse, slander. And yet, for all this, he is still able to declare, as we read in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." So how was Paul able to do this? He trusted God. He focused on God. He drew strength and comfort from God. So this morning, as we look together at what it means to be growing through suffering, there are three things that I want us to think about. Remember who God is to you. Remember what God does for you. And remember what God does through you. And so our first one, remember who God is to you. That very first verse of our reading this morning, it's just saturated with reminders of what God is to us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. Paul crams so much praise into that one sentence. Because he understands that when life's difficulties threaten to overwhelm us, the most important thing we can do is to lift our eyes up towards the light. At first it may seem difficult and distant and unobtainable, but the more we can focus on God through praise, the more we are able to tap into his strength to draw on the comfort that he wants to offer us. Psalm 121 says something similar. It says, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." When we praise God, we are distracted from ourselves and in some measure from what is happening in our lives. Our perspective shifts. Praise opens our eyes, our hearts, our minds to what God wants to do through us, makes us receptive to the gifts that he wants to pour out on us. Praise reminds us of who God is, his constancy, his faithfulness, his power, his justice, his holiness. We begin with praise because he is God. He is also, above all things, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of Jesus that we are able to come to God, call him Father, that we can approach him as a loving, supportive parent. God sees us in his Son, and he loves us as he loves his Son. Max Lucado, in his book, Where is God When It Hurts, wrote this: "The fact that Jesus came to earth where he suffered and died does not remove pain from our lives, but it does show that God did not sit idly by and watch us suffer in isolation. He became one of us. Thus, in Jesus, God gives us an up-close and personal look at his response to human suffering. All our questions about God and suffering should, in fact, be filtered through what we know about Jesus. We look at Jesus and we see God's response. Paul also reminds us that God is the Father of all compassion. The root of all suffering is sin, because sin affects our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. Sin infests our world, and we feel powerless to do anything about it, no matter how much we might want to. And the real tragedy of sin is that it obscures our view of God. But God acted with compassion when he saw our lostness and our helplessness, and he sent his own Son, Jesus, so that we might have a clear vision of God, so that on the cross, the power of sin could be dealt with once and for all, so that sin is no longer able to separate us from God, obscure our vision of him. He became one of us, experienced our human reality. He bore our pain and suffering. He bore the suffering of separation from himself on the cross, on our behalf, and he defeated it. God's compassion is infinite, inexhaustible, unchangeable, indestructible, everlasting. In Lamentations chapter 3, we read, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And above all, we have that wonderful truth in Romans that he who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? We're still in verse 3. Finally, in this verse, we are reminded that he is the God of all comfort, the one who puts strength into our hearts, the one who is the source of all encouragement. So when we are struggling, remember who God is to you. And then remember what God does for you. As we move on to verse 4, we read, "God, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Now, when we think of the word comfort, perhaps our immediate thought is for an easing of pressure, for the removal of our problems, for an escape from distress and pain. But notice what it says in verse 4. God comforts us in our troubles. We do not always receive the offer of comfort from them. God may not remove our suffering, though he can, but he promises that he will accompany us every step of the way as we journey through them. He will turn our suffering to his good purposes. A little later in his letter, in chapter 12, Paul is talking about a thorn in his flesh. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul goes on, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now we don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. He might have been talking about a physical ailment. He might have been talking about something as a result of the violent opposition he received at the hands of the authorities. But whatever it was, God was in the midst of it. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. It's when we are at our most vulnerable that God's mercy and grace are most evident. When we have no choice but to acknowledge our fear and our helplessness, that God in his mercy will overwhelm us with his power and his tenderness. So how do we receive this comfort from God? Well, above all else, we have the reassurance that our Saviour, Jesus Christ, sits beside the Father in heaven, and he pleads with him on our behalf in all our circumstances of life. And so we read in verse 5, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Christ knows what it is to suffer, to be human, to be frail and weak, and subject to all the trials of life. Whenever he met a person in distress, he had compassion. He wept alongside them. He healed them. He physically reached out to them and touched them, most poignantly when no one else would. He responded. He cared. We have a Saviour who shows us that God does not like to see suffering. A Saviour who shows us that God does not, that he cares about pain. On the cross, Christ himself succumbed to pain for us. He identified himself with the suffering of this world. We are never alone in our suffering. And for those who put their trust in this Saviour, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, enabling us to come to our compassionate God in prayer. And even when words fail us, when we, in our desperation, don't know what we should be praying or how we should be praying, or even if we can bring ourselves to prayer, we have the assurance that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for us with wordless groans. Because the Bible is God's story of his relationship with his creation, and most particularly with fallen humanity, it's full of examples of human tragedy and suffering. But it is therefore also full of God's mercy and compassion. It is full of that huge sweep of God's love for his creation. And we find strength and comfort in reading of God's faithfulness, his compassion, and his love. Remember what God does for you. And then our final section, remember what God wants to do through you. When we are struggling, God comforts us with the fellowship of his Son, Jesus. He holds us in his strong arms when we come to him in prayer. He fills us with the knowledge of his good purposes, the knowledge of himself as we read our Bibles. Learning God's truth, getting it into our hearts and our heads, clinging to it when we are struggling, is an amazing and precious gift. But God can do so much more if we allow him. He wants to take and use these experiences to shape us, to make us able to live his truth for others. It's not that God brings suffering so that he can do with us as he wills, but rather that in his compassion, when suffering comes, he promises never to abandon us or leave us without hope. If we allow it to turn us towards him, he promises to transform our pain, to use it to teach and strengthen us. It's been said that great soldiers are not made in the barracks or on the parade ground, but are made on the battlefield where the going is tough. Suffering is inevitable in our fallen world, but God in his mercy has given it purpose and meaning. As we have received comfort from God, so we are able to comfort others. As he brings us to maturity in the faith, we become conduits of God's love as we experience what it is to receive that love, and particularly as we understand what it is to receive love when we need it most. And God will use that compassionate maturity to call us to walk alongside others, to offer comfort to those who are suffering and struggling around us, to bear one another's burdens in the same way that Jesus promised to bear our burdens. It's not an easy thing to do. It can emotionally drain us. It can take our time. It can take our energy. We can't hope to do it in our own strength, and nor should we try. Again, God promises to give us the resources that we need in Christ. During his earthly ministry, Jesus offered comfort to the sick, to the needy, to the lost, to the afraid, to the confused. He demonstrated what it is to give and receive comfort. He opened himself up to others so that anyone who encountered him and saw the way he reacted to others, so the way he treated people, would know how God felt about pain and suffering. They would know what God's response would be and were enabled to follow his example. But it's not something that we can simply do on our own as individual Christians, though we are called to support one another, family, friends, family here within Christchurch. But we do this not on our own, because we are the body of Christ. We are his hands and feet on earth. And it is our joint responsibility, it's our privilege and our joy as that body to show our care and responsibility, our compassion for one another, to help one another cope in the stresses and strains of life. Philip Yancey puts it this way. He says, in so doing, we become an incarnation of Christ's risen body. Jesus provides us with a passion for our own, a pattern for our own compassionate care of others. He points us to the God of all comfort, and we too, as we care and support one another, point to this same God of all comfort. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit to empower and equip us to follow his example. So like Paul, we might experience God at work in us, even through suffering. And so we read in verse 6. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Remember who God is to you. Remember what God has done for you. And remember what God wants to do through you.